Okay, we can start. Buenos dias, vamos a la playa, and I think that will be much. That's about much that I can speak in Spanish. So we'll move to English. My name is Dan Adari. I'm a program manager from Microsoft, working on Application Insights. And just before I'll tell you a little bit about myself, how many of you are using Application Insights today? Okay, that's nice. How many of you have heard about the new feature analytics that we're going to introduce today? That's great. Okay, and last question, how many of you, the ones who are already working with Application Insights, how many of you use the export functionality that is built in Application Insights that lets you export the data to Azure Blobs? Okay, no one. Okay. So my name is Dan Hadari. I'm working in Application Insights. And what we're going to discuss today is about interactive analytics. This is something, this is a recently released feature that we've announced 2 weeks ago in Build. And mainly is focused about how it can help you diagnose your application and your and the data in a much simpler and faster way. We all know that diagnostic is not an easy task to do. And I'll show you most of this session will be about a demo, and I'll tell you how you can get started with analytics. So diagnostic modern applications is not an easy task, and we all know that in today's complex world and with the cloud, complexity is even got worse. So we all know that the modern applications are built of multiple tiers and components, front-end, back-end, databases. They are deployed in multiple areas in the world, multiple data centers. Obviously, there is no a single user or a single browser that you support. There are many different platforms and many different users that all of them are using, and you want as much as they can get. And obviously, once you've deployed your features, your service, you would like to track your feature churn. So you would like to know how users from different applications, from different geos, are using your different features. You would like to know if a feature that you've invested so heavily, let's say 4 months' work, is really being used, or where is it mostly used, or where would you like even to track and focus your marketing efforts? And to add on top of that, in today's world, in Agile, you keep deploying sometimes every day, sometimes every week, and this continuous delivery brings with it even more complexity. And while you deploy new features, you obviously have to keep track of your service, make sure that your service is available, and that you can quickly identify, triage, and fix the problem, and once again to deploy it again and again and again. So it's not an easy task, and with Application Insights, we're trying to make it a little bit more simpler. So Application Insights is about helping developers and DevOps teams to continuously collect data from your service. So telemetry is being collected from the different tiers. Would it be from the client side, from the different page views, or the different CPU and memory from the backend, all the way to the dependency calls, to the Azure blobs or databases. All the telemetry is being sent to the cloud, to Application Insights service, and is being stored there and being indexed there. And from Azure portal, you have this very nice views of let you detect and triage and monitor your application. But still, diagnostic is still hard. So even though that customer may complain, and sometimes you find out in a tweet, or maybe you detect a spike in your in your server response time, still it's not an easy task to go and find the root cause of that problem. It goes through the different tiers. Sometimes you might start your diagnostic from the customer experience. So a customer might complain that a specific page is not responding, and then sometimes you have a hunch of where exactly you would like to look for. Would it be in the database cores or look for specific exceptions? But you have to go through the different tiers that you've built in your own application. And it's not an easy task to correlate the data between the client side and the server side to make sure that you identify the thread request that impacts most of your users. And even if you've done that, to go and to get into the root cause and to find the exact exception that might have happened for this thread request, it takes a lot of effort from the developers and the DevOps team. And this is a typical ad hoc and iterative procedure that most of us are quite familiar with. So it starts with a customer complaint, and when the customer complains, when you get the customer complaint, most of the time you would like to see if this is a trend, or if it is part of the trend, or is this kind of a spike. You're trying to understand how many users are really impacted of this error. Would it be a single user, or does it create kind of a service degradation that many of your users are impacted? You have to identify the third request, and once again, till you get to the root cause. And every time that you get in each step that you're busy querying, sometimes it takes you to different routes. And every time you have this kind of diagnostic process, it may take different time to solve the issue. Now, we in Application Insight, we believe that we can help you a lot with diagnostic in a better and easier way. I ask how many of you are exporting the data to Azure Blob, and this is a common request that came from many customers of Application Insight that used to export the data to Azure Blob. And from there, they used to ingest it or used to take it to either ELK services or Azure SQLs or any kind of additional others BI tools. Now, why did you do that? Because it provided more flexibility. Now, it's very easy to get started and take the data from Application Insight and just to push it to a different BI tool. However, as time goes by, it's very hard to maintain not only the data but also the scale to make sure that the data is rightfully indexed in the BI tools. And we in Application Insight saw our customers struggling in that. And we decided to make the data available for queries in a much simpler way. So what we're doing, we are taking all the telemetry that you are sending to Application Insight, and we have built our own big data analytical solution at scale that no matter how many data you push to us, we make sure that it is being ingested and is available for you for queries. We've developed our own analytics queries, which is very fast and very quick to get started with. this new queries also supports many different aggregations. You can filter, you can search. It supports also a free text search, and you can visualize the data. And later on, you can also operationalize these insights that you got into, either from a dashboard or from other tools that we support. Okay, so now let's move to the demo, and I will show you what analytics is all about and how can I easily get into many different insights that today you might struggle to get. feel free to ask me with any question that you like during the session, of course. So this is the main overview blade that most of you are familiar with within Azure. This is the application that I'm sending data to it. Within that application, we can see the quick overview blade, which shows me different metrics and different information about the application. And what we've done, we've added this new button, the analytics, that provides and supports this query, this new query language. Clicking on that will take me to a different portal. Within that portal, you can run the different queries. Now let's take a look at what exactly do we see in this portal. On the left side of the left pane of the page, we can see here the schema. So when we're talking about queries, we're talking about tables, right? And these tables represent the different telemetry that we collect for you, or you can also obviously generate your own data. So we can see the traces that you might have sent to Application Insight, custom events, which are your own business logic information to report for different features and different events that happen within your applications, the page requests, dependency calls, exceptions, etc. Each of these tables is built of multiple columns, obviously. So you can see that for the traces, these are the different columns that we have for this table. We can also expand the custom event. We can expand all, and I can also look for different columns. Let's say user, and immediately I get all the user IDs or user star column names for each table. You can see here on the in the middle, you can see the query pane. This is where I'm going to run the queries, and I can write my queries using the IntelliSense that we'll see in a minute. At the bottom, for the login page, we show you with a tutorial, a jumpstart queries that can help you get started with application analytics. And also links to tutorials and few additional sample queries that can help you better understand how to write your own queries. These icons that you get familiar within minutes. So this one is the tutorial that lets you get started with the tutorial. This one is about if you would like to save a specific query, and this one is to load a saved query. So let's play a little bit with some queries, and we'll see how this new query language is working and what can we do with that. So let's say that I would like to understand first, so how this query is built. So it's a forwarding piping kind of query. So you can see that you always start with the table name that you would like to query, and then you just keep going and try and filter and apply different aggregations, and you can continue and developing your query as much as you want. You can also obviously do a join between different tables or even within the same table just to apply another join. And what happens, and what you have to understand, that every single step that you are doing with that query is kind of creating an ad hoc table. Okay, so every time that I do something, it creates a table that I can later on continue and apply additional conditions on that. So if I would like to start with requests, and just to get and understand how many requests do I get, so I have the IntelliSense that adds the pipe character, and just doing a count and a shift enter, so we can either click on this go button or you can just hit shift enter, and immediately it starts counting the request for this application, and we can see here that it's more than 40 million requests that right now are available in this big data for me to query. And you can see here how much time it took for the query to return, how many records. So actually what happened right now, since I wrote a query which is request pipe count, it created a table of a column count and the value of that. If I would like to get a sample of the request and to get an understanding what the request records look like, I can just do request pipe take 10, and it's gonna provide me a sample of 10 records. Hit and shift enter, and what I see right now, I can see the grid. I can obviously can increase the pane of that. I can see the grid. These are the different columns that by default are presented for you. You can also select add additional columns, remove others, and you can scroll it left to right and see the other columns that you have selected. You can sort the data. This one only sorts on the client side, so all the return, the result sets that came back from the query, you can sort it in here. You can move columns to the left or to the right, and eventually, when you are building queries, it's very useful to use the take 10 or take 5 or take 1, whatever, just to get an understanding of what your data is going to look like, to make sure that when you are building your queries, you are in the right direction. Now, let's say I would like to understand what is the average duration of the request in the last day by hour. So what I'm doing, I'm just querying the request table. And here I'm going to use the where statement, which is a filter. So I'm going to filter for the timestamp, which is bigger than now minus one day. And I'm going to make sure that the duration is bigger than zero. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to summarize the results by the average duration. And I'm going to bucket them into a 1 hour bucket. So very easy for me just to run the query. And I got a table for each hour. I can see the average duration of the request. Now I can decide to leave it as a table, but I can also visualize it in a different way, either in a bar chart or in this case, it will be very useful for me to see a trend line of the average duration. Now you can just imagine that if I would like to bucket it in a different bucket in 3 hours, it's only a matter of setting a different query, just replacing the 1 hour to 3 hours. And I got this information back. And this is how the graph looks like. So I think one of the most important things that we provide developers right now with this kind of query language is flexibility. So I don't know how many of you have ever tried to get an understanding for a specific request, what is the threshold, how many requests you have that are longer than 2 seconds or 20 seconds. With Application Insight in the Azure portal, you can definitely see the trend line, and you can definitely detect the spike. However, if you would like to narrow down your results and to make sure that not only you filter the request that took longer than 5 seconds, but you can also get the information about exactly what are the requests, what is the request name, how many impacted users, this is your way to get this information. Now let's say that I would like to add to understand how many users per request, and not only that, but also see the percentiles, the median, the 95, and the 99. Once again, this is something that is not available for you in Azure Portal. This is all these kind of aggregations and many more, standard deviation, obviously unique count, many other aggregations are available for you in this very rich powerful language. So just running that, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to run the query for the last 5 days, and I'm going to summarize the results of the request duration by the median, the 95 and the 92. Not only that, I'm going to also to get a count of the request. I'm going to divide it by 1,000 just to make sure that the graph is normalized. And I'm going to get a distinct count of the user. And all of that, I'm going to bucketize it for a 1 hour bucket bins. So running this query, and you can see how long it took, 7 seconds. I got 121 records. And I can see here a spike. Now, whenever I hover my mouse over that, I can see all the values for the different aggregations. So I can see the percentile 50, 95, 99, and how many request count did I have for this spike. If I would like to leave only the 99 percentile, it's very clear that something happened here. Now, let's say I would like to understand and to get and to see what are the exact requests that caused this spike to happen. So I would like to add the third request. And in this case, what I'm going to do, I'm going to count, not just to count the request, but I'm going to add a condition in the count statement, in the count aggregation, to look for the success. The success is a property of the request table. So where success equals false. So it's going to count me the third requests. And you can also, by the way, you can see here that I added a comment that I'm going to remove it. But let's start with this query first and see how many failed requests do I have. I only left the percentile 99 aggregation. And I can see a different graph, right? Because right now, not only that I see this spike of the percentile 99, but I can also see how many users were impacted out of this spike. We can see that 829 users, different users, were impacted of this spike. And I can see that during that spike, we can see that 181 fail requests happened. Now, if I would like to not only to see all the users, but I would like to filter it for all the requests, all the failed requests, where number of distinct users is greater than 1,000. So I would like to focus my efforts first. So I don't want to start and handle all these failed requests that maybe have impacted 50 users, and I would like to start and handle the failed request that creates a bigger impact on my users. So just running this query again, and it's going to narrow down the results. So what happens is that this statement creates an intermediate table, and applying another filter on that intermediate table, which filters the user ID, the distinct user ID, to be more than 1,000, creates and narrows down the results. So if I want to focus my effort, this is my way to do that. Any questions so far? Okay, so now that we saw that we have so many failed requests, it's very common, and I think the next step would be to see if there's any correlation between the failed request and the exceptions that might have happened in the back end of my server. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to query the data for the past 5 days. I'm going to look for success equals false. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to apply a join, a left outer join, on the exception tables. So I'm starting with the request table, and then I move into a join on the exception table. And obviously, when we are talking about tables and data structure, it's very important to understand how the data is kept in our own tables. Operation ID is this unique identifier that correlates all the backend information and application insight. This is something that we take care of for you. So whenever a request hits your service, all the interconnected information telemetry that is being sent on that request gets the same operation ID. So correlating and joining the data based on the operation ID will get me all the failed requests and the correlated exception that happened for the failed requests. And what I'm going to do right after I'm joining the data, I'm going to count the exceptions and to present it by the operation name. Running this query, once again, you can always get an understanding how fast it is by the how much time is elapsed for this query. And I can see here that this is the operation names, and this is the number of exceptions that happen for each operation name. So it's very useful and it's very insightful to see this information coming up together. So it provides me right now, so far we've mainly focused on a backend, on kind of a server related queries. Obviously you can do much more than that. Let's say that you send your traces to Application Insight, and we obviously indexed and keep it in analytics for you. Collecting the data, the traces from multiple VMs, multiple roles, it's not an easy task. Once you do that, we collect the data for you, and we keep it for you here. And searching the data, your traces, it's very easy to do with analytics. It's just about applying, starting your query with traces, and then you can just use the rich query language that we have built and to search for substrings or where specific message contains data, or even use a wildcard, or even apply regex. You can apply regular exceptions on your traces, kind of transform your traces into a structured data, and then just continue and evolve your queries and to get more information on that. But not only about traces we're talking, we also get information, we can get information about the usage of your service. So since we've already collected your geolocation for you, we can analyze this data, and right now we can just get an understanding of how your where your users are coming from. And what I've done right now, I've used the render statement. So I've created this table, and instead of presenting it in a grid view, I used the render pie chart, which transformed this information into a pie chart. And what we can see here, we can see two different circles. We can see the inner circle, which is the aggregation by the country, and we can see the outer circle, which is the breakdown of the cities for that country. Now, I've also used to get the top 20 by the count of the client country or region. So it's not the, so I would like to limit this pie chart only to 20 countries or regions. And since I use the top, it's like sorting and taking the first 20 results. More usage scenarios is about the sessions durations, right? So if I would like to calculate the session duration, since I have the session ID that was initially defined for the first event that happened for a specific session, and within that session, obviously, there are many requests, exceptions, custom events, traces, all of these events carry and use the same session ID. So what I've done, I've decided to query the page views table. I limited my query to the last 24 hours, last day, and then I summarize and I took the max timestamp and the minimum timestamp, and it's grouped by session ID. So it guarantees that now I have the start time of the session ID and the stop time of the session ID. Then I use this statement extend. Extend creates on the fly parameter, variable, in another column. So I named it session duration, and I just calculated the the difference between the max timestamp and the minimum timestamp, and I divided it by 1 minute to get the session duration by minutes. And then I just summarized this whole information, and I created the average session duration and the median, and that's about it. And let's see how this query looks like. Now, I think it takes a little bit, what happened? Okay, I have a syntax error. Okay. Yeah, this is something nice that I didn't mention. You can highlight only part of your query and just run it, and it's going to run only the highlighted information. In this case, what we're going to see, we're not going to see the summarize, we're not going to see the average session duration, we're going to see a list of sessions and the max timestamp and min timestamp. This is what I meant previously when I said that every step creates an intermediate table. So with, until here, what we can see, what we can get the session ID. So we've grouped by session ID, and we get the max timestamp and the min timestamp and the session duration, which is the on-the-fly column that we have created and calculated the session ID. Now, if I would like also to get the average and the median for this whole table, we can see that the average session duration is 23 minutes, and the median is a little bit more than 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Now, if I would like also to add and to understand how many users, how many distinct users are using, do we have per session? So, once again, it's very flexible. All you have to do is just to add a D count of the user ID, and then adjust sum the D count of user ID, because obviously for each session there's a distinct user, a single distinct user, so that's why I used the sum of the D count, and I just divided it by the timestamp. And we can see here that very easily I can get an understanding of how many different users do I have in each time, and what is the average session duration and the median. Now, this is something that I think This is something that I think many product managers or even dev teams would be very interested in, that where you have the ability to create kind of a funnel and to see an aggregation of the different actions of your users. So what we see here, we can see here that we are querying this application. It is called Insight Portal. It's that application. And that application actually tracks and sends telemetry to Application Insight about all the users who use that portal, Application Insight Portal. So if I would like to understand how users are using my application, I can query the page views. Okay, I can limit, obviously, I can start, always limit your query to a specific time range, because obviously otherwise you're going to get a warning that your query is exceeding a specific large volume of information, of data, and it's going to warn you that the query is going to take longer than expected. So I'm going to limit the query to my last 2 days. I'm going to order it by the timestamp, and then I'm going to create a list of the view pages by the session ID. So what I'm going to see right now, I'm going to see that for each session, what is the sequence of the pages that happen for each session. And I'm going to take the top 50, because otherwise the number of permutations obviously are going to be very high. So I just limit my query to my top 50. Now, obviously, just imagine that what we are doing right now, we are scanning the data, and we're building all these different permutations, and we're counting the distinct count for each permutation. So what we got here for that this is a very common pattern that many users just hit in the first page. And we can see the different number of users. This is the count of users. And for each permutation, for each combination, how many users have followed that sequence. Let's say that I can see here that a user has used the Metric Explorer blade and then opened another Metric Explorer blade. So if you have, let's say you have your own custom event and you report that a user has searched an item, a user added to the wish list, a user added to the cart, you can create the sequence of the custom events for each session ID and to see what is the, how common is a specific pattern, how common is a specific sequence with your users. And the last thing that I want to show you is let's say that I would like to see for each page views how many from different countries, so from which countries my users are coming, and not only that, how many users do I have, how many different cities, and the list of cities that that I have for each country. So once again, I just created this make set, and I just this aggregation creates this kind of array of cities. Now, one thing that is very nice to see here that clicking on a record opens the complete record, and you can see the whole information right in front of you. Now, when we are talking about operationalization, let's say that I would like to see I would like to operationalize this one and to add it to my dashboard. So, you can either export the result set to Excel and to take it from there, or you can export it to Power BI. What we are doing, we are translating this query into an M language. So we just created this very unfriendly M language query and copy-paste it. And I'm using my Power BI desktop just to add a blank query. I'm going to edit. All the instructions are available in this downloaded data. I'm just copy and paste it, and here we go. So right now I can just name it friend request, and I can apply it. And from that point on, it gets refreshed up to eight times a day, and you can share your information and your insights with others using Power BI. So I can just, and this is the exact same query that we saw in analytics. Okay, so less than 10 minutes, so I would like to wrap up and just, we saw many examples of how you can use the powerful query language to create different insights and to create multiple aggregations using the 5th, 50th, and 99th percentile. It's very easy to query your data and to filter and join your information. It's very useful since all the data is available for you. Right now, we are keeping the data for 8 days. In a few weeks, we're also going to support a higher retention period for keeping your data. So we saw that you can filter your data, you can join the multiple tables, you can use very powerful aggregations. All this information is available within our documentations because we only saw kind of a very glance at the glance of what we can do with analytics. And if you ask yourself what's the difference between application insight and analytics, with application insight you get a predefined, the guided experience. So most of the data, since it's well defined by us, we have built for you a curated experience. We built for you journey of navigations between different screens. However, if you would like to drill down and get deep insights from your data, this is where you can switch from application insight to analytics and to keep and further get more insights of your data. So this was only the first release of analytics. Obviously, there are many more improvements and many more features that are waiting for us. For example, operationalizing of your queries to get alerts and add it to your dashboard in Azure portal, other and more visualizations that are going to be supported. Right now, analytics is only available for Windows for web services, not for mobile devices. So this is something that is also high on our priority to enable HockeyApp customers also to enjoy this analytics. And cross-app queries, right now, the scope of your queries is limited to the single application that you have opened. We're also going to support a cross-app query. So let's say that you have a microservices architecture and each microservice reports its telemetry separately. You would like to get a complete picture, a comprehensive information about your service. This would be the place where you can cross-app query your service. So it allows you to diagnose the entire app stack because otherwise it's very hard for you to do that. It lets you answer ad hoc queries and with a big data, with this big data capabilities and very fast and quick queries that you can run, you can get to the root cause of your information, of your data, very easily. So how you can get started? All you have to do is just to click on the analytics button and you can take it from there. Obviously, since this is a very new feature that we've just released, we welcome and we appreciate any feedback that you would like to share with us. You can leave feedback in the portal or just send it directly to us. We have 5 minutes for questions.
Español, canario, canario, inglés.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a question for you, Dan. So, well, this is amazing stuff. So, in fact, we have been, I've been lucky working with you over the last month. So, what is the biggest customer, you know, in data insights that you probably have? Is in gigs, in terabytes? Which sizes, more or less?
So we have, obviously, before releasing it to external customers, many Microsoft services have already started using these powerful capabilities, including Azure DB, Visual Studio Telemetry, and the biggest in just a petabyte of data.
Petabyte?
Yeah.
And in returning that in seconds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, just to make sure, just to make sure, like any queries that you run, okay, if you're going to run your naive queries, you're going to get a penalty, right, a performance penalty. So we have added many ways for you just to limit your queries, either by filters or even when you're applying a join, You can just take a subset of your table instead of taking the complete 50 columns and just to join them, not for a very good reason. You could just limit it with a project statement and take just only your 5, 10 relevant columns. And obviously, this kind of capabilities improve the performance and can speed up the query. Let's say reduce it from a minute to 10 seconds, or from a minute to less than a minute.
Are you using analytics internally in Microsoft or some of the products like Visual Studio, Team Services, or whatever?
Yeah, definitely. There's a blog that Brian Harry, the CVP for Visual Studio, has released. He sent, I think, about 2 months ago. And in that blog, he mentioned that Visual Studio Online had two different incidents, that only with these powerful query capabilities that we've provided them, they were able to nail and to get into the root cause of the data of this problem within less than an hour.
So this is an internal product that you are making it public, more or less, that you have been working inside?
Well, I think that obviously our methodology is to make sure that we provide value to our customers, and internal customers are a very good way for us to experiment and to make sure that people do find value in what we are developing. And since we saw this amazing adoption within Microsoft, it was very expected from us just to let Application Insight customers also to enjoy it.
Thank you.
Hi. We are currently working on a microservice architecture. So sometimes when we have a request, this request create a lot of new requests for different microservices. So is it possible with analytics to keep the track from the original request to the all the related requests about this original request?
Yeah, you can follow the request, okay, from one service to another. And once we're going to support these cross-app queries, you will be able also to get a complete picture of your request journey, let's say it.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, thank you very much for your presentation. Do you have any external? Do you have any API to consume all this data to your own to your CPD or?
Yeah, that's a great question. Something that I didn't cover. So, obviously, many and within Microsoft we see it also as well. So once you got into a specific insight, sometimes you would like also to integrate it into different services or different applications of your own. So we are working on an API for applying, taking the queries that you have explored using analytics and just to send them over an API. This is not something that is available today, but it will be within a few months.
Thank you.
Sí. Nada, actualmente estamos usando Application Insight para todas las aplicaciones que estamos desplegando en Azure. Y bueno, he visto un montón de queries ahí que nos serían bastante útiles. Entonces, no sé si lo tiene compartido en algún sitio público, podemos tener acceso a esas queries o.
Ah. Okay, so people are really interested in your, in the queries that you have done. So the question is, if you have those type of queries, public in some place, in the Azure portal, and in those tutorials, those type of queries that were very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many queries are available in the tutorial, either on the Quick Start or in the Advanced tab. There's also a link to the Azure documentation, which also provides additional examples of how to write queries. But within the tutorial, there's a very nice set of queries that is already available for you.
Okay. Merci. Algo más?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Exciting to be here.